Today I'm continuing a message, continuing some messages from the book of Acts as Paul is journeying from Jerusalem to Rome to give his testimony and share a trial before Caesar. And so I invite you to read with me from Acts 27. Before we do that, have you ever made any foolish decisions or maybe recently? I heard the story of a woman who wasn't really good with mechanical things. She was good with her cell phone and internet, and she read on there somewhere that they were making biofuel out of corn. And so she thought, well, I wonder how corn oil would do. And so she did some research, and she also found out that corn syrup is even more powerful than corn oil, and so she decided she would go green, and she poured the corn syrup into the fuel tank of her car. Not to mention that now she seems to be walking a lot and waiting for her car to be repaired. Sometimes we make some foolish choices. Sometimes we make some questionable decisions. Back in 1978, it was in early February, I believe, that spring semester was about ready to start at Central Baptist Seminary in Kansas City. And I was at home for the winter break. And in the meantime, while I was at home, there was a great blizzard of 1978. And so we were stuck at home for a week. Nobody went anywhere, most around the Midwest. And somewhere about the beginning of February, it seemed like it was time for me to get back to school. And so the decision, should I set out in the midst of piles and piles of snow? And I finally decided to drive back to Kansas City and made it there safely without any incident. But as I think back, if it was one of my children or one of my grandchildren wanting to do that, I probably would have advised pretty strongly not to go. Well, the scripture lesson that we read today is a story of a decision, whether to sail at the wrong season of the year or not, but the deciding factor was to go. And so, reading in Acts 27, Paul sails for Rome. Luke writing says, it was decided that we would set sail for Italy. Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a Roman commander named Julius. He belonged to the Imperial Guard. We boarded the ship from Adramyttium, was about to sail for ports along the coast of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. We headed out to sea. Aristarchus was with us. He was a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we landed at Sidon. There Julius was kind to Paul. He let Paul visit friends and stay with them so they could give him what he needed. From there we headed out to sea again. We passed to the calmer side of Cyprus because the winds were against us. We sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia. Then we landed at Myra in Lycia. There the commander found a ship from Alexandria sailing for Italy. He put us on board. It was a ship probably loaded with grain and cargo from the port of Alexandria near Egypt and headed for the city of Rome, and so they got on board. We moved along slowly for many days, Luke writes. We had trouble getting to Cnidus. The wind did not let us stay on course, and it was not easy to sail along the coast. A lot of tacking back and forth in the wind that was prevailing against them. Then we came to a place called Fair Havens. It was near the town of Lycia. A lot of time had passed. Sailing had already become dangerous. By now it was after the Day of Atonement, a day of fasting, somewhere between mid-September and early October, depending on the year. So Paul gave them a warning. Men, he said, I can see that the trip is going to be dangerous. The ship and everything in it will be lost. Our own lives will be in danger also. But the commander didn't listen to what Paul said. Instead, he followed the advice of the pilot and the ship's owner. The harbor wasn't a good place for the ship to winter, so most of the people decided we would sail on. They hoped we would reach Phoenix. They wanted to spend the winter there. Phoenix was a harbor in Crete. It faced both southwest and northwest. A gentle south wind began to blow. The ship's crew thought they saw their chance to leave safely, so they pulled up the anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind blew down from the island. It had the force of a hurricane. It was called a northeaster. The ship was caught by the storm. We could not keep it sailing into the wind, so we gave up and were driven along with the wind. We passed the calmer side of a small island called Cauda. We almost lost the lifeboat that was tied to the side of the ship. So the men lifted the lifeboat on board. Then they tied ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. They were afraid it would get stuck on the sandbars of Syrtis, some place in northern Africa where there were lots of shallow places. The next day, the crew began to throw the ship's contents overboard. On the third day, they even threw the ship's tools and supplies into the sea with their own hands. The sun and stars didn't appear for many days. The storm was terrible, so we all gave up hope of being saved. And then Paul steps up as the inspirational leader, and the men had not eaten for a long time, so Paul stood up in front of them. "Men," he said, you should have taken my advice and not set sail from Crete. Then you would have avoided the harm and the loss. Now I beg you to be brave. Not one of you will die, only the ship will be destroyed. I belong to God and serve Him. Last night His angel stood beside me. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must go on trial in front of Caesar. God has shown His grace by sparing the lives of those who are sailing with you. Men, continue to be brave. I have faith in God. It will happen just as He told me. But we must run the ship onto the beach of some island." On the 14th night, the wind was still pushing us across the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors had a feeling that we were approaching land. They measured how deep the water was. They found it was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they measured the water again. This time, it was 90 feet deep. They were afraid we would crash against the rocks, so they dropped four anchors from the back of the ship. Then they prayed that daylight would come. And so, the sailors wanted to escape from the ship. They let down the lifeboat into the sea. They pretended they were going to lower some anchors from the front of the ship, but Paul spoke to the commander and the soldiers. "These men must stay with the ship," he said. "If they don't, we will all be lost." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat. They let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul tried to get them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have wondered what would happen. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I'm asking you to eat some food. You need it to live. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head." After Paul said this, he took some bread, gave thanks to God. He did this where they all could see him. Then he broke it and began to eat. All of them were filled with hope, so they ate some food. There were 276 of us on board. They ate as much as they wanted. They needed to make the ship lighter, so they threw the rest of the grain into the sea. The story is filled with all kinds of drama and all kinds of scenes and pictures of winds and waves and decisions that are being made and what to do, and there are lots of unanswerable questions. Maybe the question, was it a foolish decision? Should they not have sailed for Rome? Paul said they should have waited there on the island of Crete. Maybe they should have waited. Did God send the storm, or did He just allow the storm? And how do you know ahead of time whether there will be a storm or not? And so there are all kinds of decisions. And I wonder, when you have a decision to make, or when I have a decision to make, how do I know if it's wise or foolish? Should we avoid setting sail if there's a chance of a storm? But then, isn't there always a chance of a storm? How do we know until afterwards? And hindsight is always 20/20, so they say. And there are many in our day who are passing their judgment on our government and leaders as to what they should have done or what they should have said or how they should have done things in the midst of the coronavirus. There are all kinds of ways that we can look back and say what we should or shouldn't have done, but in the moment, how do you decide? What do you know? There are lots of questions right now about opening up the church buildings again, and I've been instructed to encourage people to know that the church hasn't been closed, just the buildings. The church has continued to serve and to share and to give messages and hope and to be involved in people's lives and in community. And so the church has continued to minister just in a different way. But there are lots of questions that are going on. Should we try to avoid every risk and just not open up yet, or is there always some kind of risk? The questions abound. Which is better? Avoid all possible storms and stay safe and not take any risks, or somehow set sail according to God's leading or what we feel as leaders we think He says? There are so many unanswerable questions before you make the decision. When it comes to life and future and our own futures and things that are changing, how do we know what to do? And then once we decide, how can God use those decisions? Have you ever made a risky decision? Of course you had. Perhaps you set sail when it was too late in the season, as Paul says here in this passage. It was way past the time when the best sailors would have said, "That's too late, I'm not going." And maybe in your life you took a chance, you journeyed into a dangerous situation, putting yourself at risk, or maybe others or your family, and it was a risky decision, but you went ahead feeling like that was the right thing to do. Or maybe you thought it was a good decision, And you were fooled by a temporary good wind and weather situation. Maybe things were going well and relationships were healthy and strong, and there was money in the bank, and you prayed about it a lot, and it seemed like a good thing to do. And no sooner had you started than the storm hit, and you began to wonder, why did we do this, and how come we didn't see this coming? And so there are all kinds of questions. No matter what decision you make. And no decision, doing nothing can be bad and foolish as well. To play it safe, to do nothing, to let everybody else make your decision isn't necessarily God's will. I read in the Gospels, Jesus tells a story about the master who entrusts three of his servants with some of his wealth. And to one he gives 10 talents, and one 5, and the other 1, And he sends them off to use his money wisely. And two of them make good decisions. They use that money and they make a profit, but there's one who is afraid, and so he buries his talent in the ground. And then when they meet up with the master later, he stands before the master and he says, "I was afraid, and so I buried the talent, I buried the money in the ground. Here you have it back, with a little more dirt on it, even." Well, he was reprimanded severely for doing nothing at all, for being afraid, and he was called a wicked, lazy servant, and the money was taken from him and given to someone else. There are questions that come. How do you avoid any risk at all? You can't. And which is better, to avoid the possible storm and to stay safe and to take no risk, or to set sail trying to follow God's leading? There are so many unanswerable questions when it comes to the future. But God can use our decisions. Things going well, things going badly, no decision. What do you do? And so, unnecessary decisions sometimes are made, but right now we're praying and seeking God's will. I heard a saying that says, unnecessary fear of bad decisions is a stumbling block to good decisions. And so if you're so afraid of bad decisions that you don't make anything, then you avoid the good ones. 26 years ago, we began our very first boat church service and gathered on the shore of Lake Manitow. We're about 30-some people on a kind of a cold June morning, and 30 or so people gathered, and we began boat church. And there were lots of people who were wondering, was that a good decision, and why would you do that, and what was the point of that? And now, 26 years later, it's one of the big things that we do every year. It's part of our church's ministry, and one of the things that we do to share God's grace and God's mercy. It's one of our primary outreaches. And so, how do you know if it's a good decision or not? How can God use our decisions, whether they're good or bad or uncertain? Well, I believe the value of courageous faith is seen in the decisions, but also in the way we act in the midst of the storm, in the storms that come, whatever the decision. Because God can use a storm to do many things. For example, He can use a storm to teach us wisdom. Wisdom, it's been said, comes from experience. And experience comes from bad decisions. Well, good decisions too. And the more good ones and bad ones you have, the more experience and the more wisdom. And God is teaching us through these experiences to be wiser and to see beyond where we are just now. God uses storms to take us to new places and places He wants us to go. Did Paul want to go to Rome? Yes, but he advised not to go at that season because of the lateness of the season and the weather reports. And so he had encouraged them not to go. Sometimes God takes us to new places. Maybe we had never intended to move to Rochester, Indiana, or to that new job or that new place, and here you are. And somehow God has a plan and a purpose that we don't see ahead, but He does. And so God can use those storms and those decisions we make to move us to a new place. Sometimes God uses the storms to give us opportunities to share our faith and our witness for Him. How have you shared your faith during this pandemic? How do you share your faith with your children and your loved ones when people are afraid, when they're uncertain, when schools have closed and churches have closed and restaurants and grocery stores are off limits to people, and all of those things that have been part of our life and our security are all of a sudden taken away? How do we encourage our families and our children? And I suspect that 10 or 15 years from now, your children may look back and say, I remember when we went through that scary time, but I also remember that you taught us to have faith and to trust in the God who is greater than the storms. So the storms of life and the decisions we make and the things that happen because of those decisions, they teach us how to share our faith. And many of you have done that with people you don't know. Maybe people at the drive-in lot at the grocery store, or maybe those people that you've met at the online service or in Sunday school classes. We see that God uses the storm to give us opportunities to share our faith. God uses the storm as well to help us share hope. with others. Somehow in the midst of this coronavirus, there are a lot of people who are greatly afraid. They're scared to death. Some of them afraid to leave home for fear that they might catch something that would be deadly, not to mention that can always happen anywhere, but that fear of the virus has spread almost worse than the illness itself. Many have lost precious things. And during this stormy time, they've lost a loved one, or maybe they've lost their job, or maybe they've lost people that have moved away or somehow are not beside them, or they're not able to get together with people that they know, and things have changed. And there are many who are feeling helpless. I speak to my mother at her retirement home, and they're all locked or closed into their rooms, and it's happening in Winfield and Peabody and other places, and somehow that being confined to that one space and feeling helpless and at the mercy of something they can't control, and somehow learning to give people hope. This will pass. We'll get through this together. That's what they've been saying, but how long have they been saying it? I believe that God can use the storm to give people hope, and He uses us and one another to give each other hope. And Paul did that as he was talking to the sailors and the soldiers and the people aboard that ship as they ate that final meal together before they threw the rest of the grain overboard. They shared the meal, and Paul encouraged them. He said, "I've spoken with that angel, and he said that we'll all arrive safely." Sometimes we wonder why the storms come. We calculated that decision. We prayed about it. We thought this was the right thing, and then the storm hit. And we wonder, why did that happen? Why did God allow that? And one of the things I'm more and more convinced of is that we see God at work better in storms than we do in fair weather. We see God better, maybe working more clearly when it's difficult than when things are easy. How have you seen God working through the COVID storm? Maybe you've seen Him working in people's lives. Maybe you've seen Him in people being kind or generous or in some ways helping others. We've been forced to learn new technologies, and we've been forced to figure out how to stream our services online, and we've been forced to figure out how to manage things ahead, but we've also tried to do some extra things like devotions during the week to give hope and encouragement. And hopefully those encouragements can help people through the storms. I've been learning through the COVID storm what's essential and what isn't. And there are a lot of things that I like and I love and I enjoy that really are not essential. There are a lot of things that I can get by without, and I've discovered that maybe it's just as well that I get by without. I've been learning to appreciate special people. I wonder, have you learned to appreciate the teacher of your children, the school teachers that have been trying year after year to teach your children and to help them to become good citizens and to know the information that will help them grow and get stronger? Have you learned to appreciate the doctors and the nurses and the medical people? Have you learned to appreciate those people that work on the front line at the grocery store and some of them behind that plexiglass shield that you wonder, or they wonder, if it really protects them from the viruses that people might be bringing in? And somehow we've seen that God can show Himself in the storm, that God can be at work in little ways and big ways, and we see that in the storms better sometimes than in the fair weather. When life's fair, when things are going right and everything is good, we take things and people for granted. The car that starts all the time, just about all the time, and We take it for granted that it'll start until that morning we get in and we turn the key and it doesn't start. And all of a sudden, there's a storm. All of a sudden, there are decisions to make, and then we appreciate a car that starts, a battery that works. We take sunshine for granted a lot of times when it's sunny and bright, but when it's been cloudy for 5 or 6 or 7 days in a row and rainy and overcast, all of a sudden the sun peeps out, doesn't it just make us feel better? And there are people we take for granted, our loved ones, the people we depend on, the folks in our church or our communities, in our associates that we work with, and we sometimes take them for granted until all of a sudden they're gone, or we haven't seen them for a while, or maybe they move away, or they're unable to be the person they used to be, and their life has changed. And so we take things for granted, and we also take God's grace and love and forgiveness for granted until there's a storm, until there's an issue, till there's a time that we need to be forgiven, until there's a desperate need, or there's a broken relationship, or a difficult thing that comes, or a battle that we must face, or a new choice, or a new decision. And so sometimes in those storms when it's difficult, that's when we really began to focus on God. I believe God is at work in the midst of the storms. God's at work in the midst of the decisions, whatever they are, and whether they turn out to be a good one or a bad one. What is a good one? What is a bad one? How do you know if it's a good decision or a bad decision? God got Paul to Rome at just the right time. All of those journeys and all of those sidetracks along the way were just part of the journey so that he could share, so that he could minister and tell others about Jesus. Well, we walk on with faith in Jesus, not knowing for sure what's ahead, but soon we'll be restarting some worship services where people can gather together, maybe outdoors at the lake, maybe indoors, or maybe in their vehicles at least. And hopefully people will, little by little, feel less afraid to get out and come and join us. But if you're still afraid or you're not sure that you're willing to risk, then stay home a little bit longer, and little by little we'll get through this. I believe God will work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so God is good. He's at work. And whether the decision you make is foolish or wise, whatever you're learning from it, the wisdom and the ability to trust him in the storm, we know that God is at work. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father and our God, as we are gathered just now to worship in this virtual mode once again, Lord, there are decisions being made all around us, decisions to maybe eliminate some of the restrictions, maybe decisions to open up churches and restaurants and things around us. And now we have to decide, what are our limits? How much will we venture out, and how much will we try to stay safe, and will we wear a face mask, or how far do we stay away from people, and can we be with loved ones, and can we share meals together, and all of those decisions. And Father, we pray that you'll help us as we make them. And God, each person has to make their own and to make their own choices. And Lord, continue to bless them during the storm. Continue to help them to see that you are at work even in the difficulties and the trying circumstances. And help us, Lord, to see the blessings and the good things that you're doing even in the midst of those. God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for being with us through this COVID storm and through the ones that are still ahead. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.